Planning and Development Committee of the Whole, number 3. Thank you to our interpreters, Lethea, James, and Jeannie. We will start tonight with an adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for the adoption of the agenda? Counselor Sweeney moves. Counselor Stevenson seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. There are no minutes this evening. Are there any declarations of interest? Seeing none, no delegations, no business, and right into new business. So 5A, request for decision, survey sketch application number SK23-001. Samantha, will you present? Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. Due to the construction of the new city operations building, the existing municipal impound lot has had to be relocated from building 1549. This survey application is initiated by Citibank to create a new approximately 3,000 square meter parcel in the Ward 4048 impound lot. Please see the location map attachment 1 and the survey sketch plan in attachment 2 for location detail. The survey will also create a 42-meter wide road parcel that will provide access to the new impound lot and accommodate the existing drainage ditch that runs along the road. The second parcel, parcel B, will also be created adjacent to the new impound lot. Parcel B will be approximately 2,000 square meters, and it may be retained for city purposes or disposed of according to the Land Administration bylaw. Parcel A and B are both currently designated open space and zoned open area, so a general plan and zoning bylaw amendment will be required to permit industrial uses on the lot, including for the impound lot and for any future development on parcel B. The options are to approve the survey application, refer the item back to staff, or refuse the survey application. The legal survey is estimated to cost $15,000 to $20,000, and city staff are recommending that the Planning and Development Committee and that Council approve survey sketch plan SK23-001 to create two lots.
Thank you, Samantha. Do we have a motion? Deputy Mayor Shepherd moves, and a seconder. Councillor Sweeney seconds. Do we have any comments or questions for Samantha? Mayor Awa. Go ahead.
Samantha.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Samantha, were you able to hear the question?
Unfortunately, I missed just the middle of that question.
I believe the mayor was asking if this is the only option for the lots, or if there was other areas.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Samantha. I think my question is that in this lot, there's a road. Is there a new construction on the road, or is the same road will be no change?
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Mayor Awa. Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. I'd actually Samantha. Like to pass this question to Michelle, who would have more information about that.
Thank you, Chair. and thank you for the question. I think if I understand, Mayor, you're seeking clarification for the road parcel that's being surveyed. It's surveying the existing road. So there was no proposed changes to the road at this location. So it's this section of the road is unsurveyed. So in creating the two parcels, which are shown as A and B on attachment one, we will also be surveying that portion of the road along with those parcels.
Thank you, Michelle. Do you have a follow-up? Good. Any further questions? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Our next item, item B, request for decision, development permit application number DP23-010, and request for variance. And once again, back to you, Samantha.
Thank you. The applicant is proposing to construct an approximately 18 square meter residential addition onto the existing vestibule they have on the single detached home in Apex. The addition will also include a larger unenclosed deck and staircase. One variance to the interior side yard is required to support the application. The options are to approve development permit application DP23-0010 and the request for refer the application back to staff for further analysis, or refuse the development permit and request for variance. The proposed addition is consistent with the general plan designation and zoning on the lot, and the one variance is required to reduce the minimum interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 2.2 meters. This reduction of the required side yard setback was determined to be minor and supportable due to the distance from the adjacent house and the small difference in the setback that's required. The staff are recommending that the Planning and Development Committee recommend that Council approve the development permit application DP23-10 for Lot 7, Block 8, Plan 1986, to permit the extension of a vestibule and approve a variance to Section 9.4 of the zoning bylaw to reduce the minimum interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 2.2 meters.
Thank you, Samantha. Is there a motion? Deputy Mayor Shepherd moves. Councillor Kwasa seconds. Any comments or questions to the motion? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. On to our next item this evening. Item C is a request for decision, land
Thank you, Chair. The Iqaluit Elders Society requests a small parcel of known as Lot 574. The lot is part of a larger block of land that the society is consolidating for its elders housing project. The map, I think, illustrates the portion that they are seeking quite well. This map shows all the lots that they are consolidating or for this project. And the small red triangle that you see in the bottom corner on the right is the land in question. That's Lot 574. The options are to approve the land disposal bylaw, refer the bylaw to staff for further analysis, or option three, to refuse the land disposal bylaw In terms of the land administration bylaw, so the authority is to draws on section 10 of the land administration bylaw, which permits council to dispose of a portion of a lot if the intent is to
use.
Hi, Michelle. I don't know if you can hear us here, but you're Michelle. Frozen on the screen there. So when you say this, so give it a moment. All right. Well, welcome back. I'm not entirely sure where you left off there, Michelle. Oh, am I muted? Hello, welcome back. Can you hear me now? Okay, awesome. Perfect. Just a brief technical difficulties. Thank you for your patience. I'm not entirely sure where we lost you there, Michelle.
Okay. I had talked about the options, the three options, and then I was just into the...
Yeah.
Is that maybe where? Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's exactly where. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll just restart just after the options that were presented. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the permissions of the land administration bylaw. So it's section 10 of the land administration bylaw that permits council to dispose of a portion of a lot if the intent is to resurvey and consolidate the lot within 2 years. So that is the intent here, is to lease a portion of lot 574 with the lot to be resurveyed as a condition of future development approval when that comes forward. Regarding pricing, the land administration bylaw section 52 provides direction here. So generally, land is to be priced based on market value. However, it does allow council to use other methods of pricing where there's unique circumstances or to achieve an objective. Now, in this case, we don't know the market value of lot 574, but an appraisal could be obtained. There was also no assessed value for lot 574. So usually in these cases, what we do is we look at the assessed value of the adjacent lot as the assessed land value only, not the improvements. And in this case, if we use the assessed value, the lot price would be $28,280. And also just point out that section 52 also allows a 30% reduction on the market value of a lot, is providing a community in terms of costs, if the council did want to proceed with a land appraisal for 574, this would cost approximately $3,000 to perform, and that money would come from the land development reserve fund. The recommendation that we are presenting to committee is three recommendations. One is to give first and second ring to the land disposal bylaw for lot 574.
I'd love to find a way to support this project. The size, the shape, to do an appraisal on that would probably be a fairly low value. Looking at it, once amalgamated with the rest of the lot, the lots around it definitely has more value there. So I'm just wondering what method we would be asking for. Taking into consideration the amalgamated state afterwards? And I'm just wondering, just additionally to that, does the bylaw speak anywhere to how we value land? Does it mention how we value land when there is no assessed value or no cost associated with it?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, for the question. I guess to answer the first question, my understanding of the way land appraisals are done is based on the highest and best use of that particular property. So they would look at that property in a more isolated way. It's a residual small parcel. The portion that we would be leasing residual parcel of land. That's my understanding. I'm not a professional appraiser, but likely that would be asked for that appraisal. The land administration bylaw, the pricing section, which is section 52, it basically presents four options: market value, assessed value, and development costs. About $209 per square meter. So that's higher. The assessed value is $40 per square meter. So the last option is the market value, which is
Thank you, Michelle, and follow-up Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a door open to just relying on a zero development cost and just contributing this to the project. So in the suggested motions, if we obtain a land appraisal, establish the lot price, can we price it at 30% or 30% below that 28,280? If you remove that, it can be read two different ways. I'm just wondering if the intent is to the lesser of 30% appraisal or 28,280 28,280. I know that was a lot of numbers. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Back to you there, Michelle.
Thank you, Chair. So unfortunately, the wording in Section 2 of the Land Administration bylaw is to permit a 30% reduction of market value. It doesn't say 30% less of lot price, which is more kind of could be established using different methods. In this case, Section 52D, I've just opened the Land Administration bylaw here. It says, if council wishes to reduce the price of a parcel or a proposed development that will represent community benefit, the market value of the parcel may be reduced by up to 25%, and the market value of an old parcel, which is the case here, may be reduced by up to 30%.
Thank you, Michelle. Michelle. Further questions? Seeing none. So the motion was for to follow staff recommendations as written. And it was Swainy who moved. Councillor Amarpala who moved. Councillor Stevenson. Any other further comments or questions? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. And the next item is a memo for the land disposal process for on-the-land facilities proposed by nonprofit organizations. So once again, that is Michelle presenting.
Thank you, Chair.
Michelle.
So in the past year, three nonprofit organizations assistance in acquiring land that is served their land-based programs. So these organizations are very specific to needs. It includes outdoor recreation, traditional activity, and other land-based programming, a few of them around health and well-being. So the challenge here, generally speaking, does not have the boxes that are surveyed for this type of purpose. Everything outside of the kind of surveyed subdivisions is zone. And generally the open space zone does not allow permanent structures.
Come forward with these proposals for And then, depending on the outcome of that presentation and discussion, the decisions that would be needed to follow through on that first discussion. So that would be like a survey, so a sketch plan, and sort of a bylaw.
We have prepared kind of a draft policy that could be
Thank you, Michelle. So you're looking, are you looking for a motion tonight to amend the zoning bylaw, I guess, is the beginning of this, or just information for now?
Yes, Chair. We're really asking for feedback.
And
we can provide some direction and feedback. Three specific requests from at least three organizations that are looking for land. We don't really have a really an established process for
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important to provide access to the land for the right organizations that are doing the right programming. I agree with your comment earlier that equity leases are probably not the right vehicle to make this happen. If we're fortunate enough to ever pass the land plebiscite to let us go in a fee simple, any equity lease we have issued on the land would return to fee simple automatically as well. I think it's important for our city that we go that route to alleviate on administration, but I don't necessarily think it's right for various rents across our space. But I'm just wondering, are the developments proposed so significant that they need to raise leasehold title to accomplish something that can't be done with a land use permit or by other means?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Our feeling is that the land use permit, because it is generally not the suitable mechanism when we're talking about structures. It's been okay for things like gravel fill or sea can storage, but when it comes to structures, it's only for a maximum of three years. So if somebody wants to build, even if it's a modest cabin, it may be We thought maybe it would be more difficult to obtain funding if there was not some sort of through a lease.
Thank you, Michelle. Deputy Mayor has a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Support this in the long term without question. I'm just wondering, should we finish our cabin land use access policies before we start looking at allocating additional open space land to other people? We haven't identified a permanent structure, a policy like this, but maybe we start with a small issue first and resolve our cabin policy and then look to doing
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Right, Councillor Kwasa, go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. Michelle?
Thank you, Chair, Councillor Kwasa. I apologize, but there's something wrong with the interpreter audio. It's very, very low, and we're unable to hear over Councillor Kwasa speaking.
I'll give it back to Councillor Kwasa to explain. Hold on.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
I'll just briefly explain what it is in English. My main question was, you mentioned that there were few that were interested in doing something, and therefore this need came about. And I'm just curious, what types of interest are there out there? And I just wanted to make a little point before you answer that question. The first thing that came to my mind was a hunter's market area. We see these happening in cities like Nuuk, where they have a market area and selling their country food. That's the first thing that came to my mind. But anyways, that question is mainly what types of interest are there out there?
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. Michelle?
Thank you, Chair. Actually, maybe Samantha, if it's okay, Chair, if I could just, because Samantha's mostly been corresponding with these three organizations, and I think there's no issue in just letting you know who these organizations are briefly, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you, I guess Samantha.
Okay. Sorry, I was muted. We have one organization that provides online programming, traditional knowledge, teaching, and other kind of land-based activities for children and adults with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. An additional organization is working with GN Mental Health. It's called Embrace Life. And their intent is to provide a cabin for families for things like grief counseling and also for other kind of therapeutic programming that's related to getting up on the land, getting away from the city for that type of programming. And the third is an Inuit women's organization that just reached out as kind of a preliminary outreach. I hope I'm saying that close to correctly. They're looking for a cabin space to run their programming for similar purposes, online programming, traditional knowledge. All three have some restrictions in their ability to have a cabin that's located too far from the city, or a cabin or a facility, a space where people can go, where they have enough access to bring people who may not have complete who may have some accessibility challenges, and also at the frequency we're intending to run the program, having a very distant cabin that's outside of the municipal boundary wouldn't necessarily fit what they're looking for.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Michelle. You're good, Councillor Kwasa. Mayor Awa, on to you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to speak English just to make sure that it goes through. I think I'm going to support this, but with the condition that if we make a bylaw, that these could be only non-profit organizations. That was my suggestion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. I think it is maybe listed in here. I'm not sure. Michelle, is that specified in your memo?
Yes, Chair. So the you can see the proposed definition that we're providing on the first page. So on the land facility would need a building or structure dedicated to land-based cultural, recreational, educational, social, or health programming administered by a government department or agency or nonprofit organization that provides a community benefit. So in this case, it does. It would allow not only a nonprofit but a government department or agency as well. And we point to the example. One of the examples is Embrace Life, which is the cabin. Our understanding would be kind of a partnership between health and social services and the Embrace Life organization.
Thank you, Michelle. Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I share Councillor Shepherd's concern about moving forward with this policy while we currently have an unenforced cabin building ban on our green space, an inability to seeming inability to be able to restrict those people who just want to build willy-nilly wherever they want. City space, city green space, and yet we're moving into a policy for groups, totally deserving groups who have good reason to want to have legal cabins, I'm sure. But we don't have a policy for legal cabins for regular citizens at the moment, and I feel like this is jumping ahead of where we should be at. I think we need to resolve that cabin issue. I struggle with moving too far forward with this while we haven't resolved that. It feels strange to think that we're going to give people leases, not for some recreational building, but cabins. We're talking about three cabins is what they just suggested while we've got a cabin ban and while we can't figure out the cabin problem that we have sprouting up all over. And you know, obviously, I'm not against cabins and recreational use. I own cabin on land. I don't think that it's one of the healthiest and best activities that citizens of Mekalu can do. But we have a responsibility to make it safe and appropriate and organized for people in the lands that we're covering. You know, all the staff is asking right now is do they want us to keep going with this? Maybe yes, but I do think also they need to be directed to work on the other problem as well simultaneously.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. It's more of a comment. Mayor Awa, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that we could probably make some rules apply that this only temporary. I'm just wishing that you can put the tent in that certain spot where the organization requests and take it off after some. I'm just wishing make some sort of move like that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Let's get more of a comment. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the intent behind these requests are for more permanent structures, and our residents want permanent structures as well. You know, definitely support a path forward for everybody to be able to access land, but I think it's important that we have a comprehensive policy that covers both needs. I'd like to see the cabin issue tied into this and maybe cover both topics in the same bylaw and same policies that come forward. We've got to resolve both of these issues. We need to be able to provide access to our land for recreational purposes, for programming purposes. The blanket ban we have in place now is not working. It's not going to work long term, nor is it fair to our residents to have it locked off long term. And we can't just use that as an excuse to block organizations who want access as well, but we need to come up with a policy that's fair to everybody. And I think the best path forward is a comprehensive policy covering both issues.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Stevenson, other comments? Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable suggestion, and I'd be supportive of that. I forgot this time, two things. I wanted to be sure in a policy for a nonprofit that's building a building that there are clauses that when they leave the property that they returned to its original state. So, you know, I know of three cabins down the bay that were owned by nonprofits that don't exist anymore, and they just got abandoned. One got salvaged, the other is falling down. But just that should be a caveat of any lease. The other thing is unrelated to this topic, but we need to sort out the interpretation issue with the Zoom. Because they can't hear Zoom it at all. I couldn't hear it. Period. You can tell that somebody's talking. People can speak in an open
Voice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson.
Councillor
Stevenson. Mayor Awa? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support Kyle and
Well, thank you, everybody. I guess we weren't looking for a motion for that tonight, just a little bit of feedback for Michelle. So that, if there's no further comments, that brings us to adjournment. Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Emeropoulos seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Thursday. I'm going to